People of the world, it's The Brothers Talk with your hosts Rod, Scott, and Norm, and we're glad you join us each Friday wherever you listen to your favorite podcast to hear our take as three Black, unfiltered African-American men with no strings attached, giving voice to the most feared, most misunderstood, and most rarely heard from segment of the population on topics of interest to us for education, enlightenment, and entertainment. We're excited to continue spreading the message that promotes critical thinking and thoughtful conversations, advocating for social activism, and uplifting people everywhere. We're also inviting you to join us as we continue the work of encouraging and educating everyone with the edifying task of identifying, endorsing, and inspiring new and existing Black businesses and individuals for the empowerment and prosperity of our community. Send your comments, questions, and suggestions, and follow us on Facebook, on X, formerly known as Twitter, at The Brothers Talk, The Brothers Talk on Instagram, and you can email us, thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. And stay tuned for details about our YouTube channel, our upcoming book, and tour dates. And now on with this week's program. Hello and welcome in again to all members of The Brothers Talk family around the world, wherever you're listening in, and to all of our first-time listeners as you join the worldwide podcast household. Your standing invitation continues to be to join us in the ongoing battle to promote critical thinking and social justice activism. And don't forget to spread the word about the show as we enlist others in the fight against the ongoing efforts to keep the masses dumbed down and indifferent to thinking for themselves. Again, here's your weekly coronavirus awareness alert because we care. COVID-19 became the second leading cause of death globally in the year after it was declared a pandemic, according to a study published in The Lancet. While heart disease remained the top killer, COVID radically altered the main five causes of death for the first time in 30 years, displacing stroke, publication said. In 2021, 94 in every 100,000 people died from COVID on an age standardized basis. So we repeat, COVID is still with us. It's still deadly. It is taking people out daily and weekly and monthly and yearly. So we need to continue to stay smart. Let's stick to what we know that works. Get vaccinated, get those boosters, wear a mask in crowded situations, wash your hands regularly. And if you have children and you do get sick, stay home until the contagious period passes. That's still 5 days for COVID, 4 days for the flu, and 8 days for RSV from when you first notice your symptoms. No one should end up unnecessarily in the hospital or worse from these preventable diseases. Remember, family, we can and we must do better. Now to my brothers in the struggle for critical thinking, Scott and Norm.
Thanks, Rod. And thanks, family, for your continued support. You know, as far as COVID goes, I was talking to somebody about the fact that I was on a plane here this past week, and me and one other person were the only ones on the plane that had on a mask. And I was talking about, I go to a grocery store, and the only people wearing masks are every other cashier. And I mentioned, I'm like, you know, I'm not seeing people. I'm the only one. I'm the outlier here. And he says, oh, we're done with COVID. We're done with COVID. And I was like, yeah, but COVID's not done with us. So that's the problem. People just assuming, because you don't see a lot of folks with masks on, you don't see them. They don't talk about it on TV anymore. They don't talk about, you know, they've gotten rid of social distancing. You know, they don't even encourage people to get vaccinated anymore. So quite naturally, folks are going to think that, oh, hey, we're done. It's behind us. We got to do better. Norm?
Thanks, Scott. And I just wanted to add a reminder. Just because you survive or you know someone who survived COVID doesn't mean it can't leave you with long-lasting effects, and especially to your organs. Heart, lungs, kidneys, what have you. So please, just because you're surviving, you're feeling a little bit better, there's some long-term effects of this disease as well. Rod?
This week, we're back to our familiar formula of the round robin, and we're going to start with the polling myth, which we see lots and lots of polls, and depending on what station you watch or what source you're looking at, you can hear about any number of different poll results. But the odd thing is that there seems to be this groundswell of different organizations that are attempting to portray 45 as somehow not only drawing even, but in many instances of being ahead of Joe Biden. And this just doesn't seem to add up, along with their statistics that continue to try to say that more and more African-American males in particular are moving 245 away from Biden and the Democrats. And what particularly stands out for us is that we are three African-American men, as you know from our show's intro, who know probably thousands of other African-American men. And the number that we know of that have been polled is zero. The number that we know of who are actually Republicans are minuscule. And so who are they polling? None of us have ever been contacted for a poll. And we don't know anybody within our fairly large circle of other African-American men or women for that matter, that he actually ever said they have been polled. And it's not as though that's the kind of thing that anybody would hide. That's the kind of thing that normally somebody would say, hey, I got a polling call from Ropers or Gallup or from NBC or CBS or whoever the case may be. But we don't know anybody who's ever been polled. And yet we continue to hear this noise about the polling numbers showing that more Blacks are moving toward 45. And that therefore makes us suspicious of the other numbers that they are floating out there.
You know, Rod, when you talk about polling, and this is the thing that really bothers me a lot, because it's like you said, who are they polling? And you gave out somewhat of a statistics that said, you know, combined, we know thousands of people. And the thing is, we've never been polled. The people we know have never been polled. And the people we know don't know anybody who's ever been polled. And they don't know anybody that's ever been polled. So who are these people polling? Where are they getting this data from? And from what I can understand, what's happening is the people who get polled are people who have landlines. And you still got landlines, and a lot of the people who have landlines are older people in red states. Well, I still have a landline. I don't live in a red state, and I still haven't gotten polled. And I know some of my friends still have landlines, and they still haven't gotten polled. This is the media. The more I talk about, you have to give 45, I don't want to give him no credit, but some of the things that he say, like the media, they're disingenuous, they're rotten. What they're doing is they're trying to keep, they want people to keep people engaged so that they can make money. There is no way, in my opinion, that these young people and African-Americans, men, voted for Biden last time, but they're going to turn around and vote for Trump. What did Trump do? What has he done to convince these people that, hey, you know, I made a mistake. I'm going to vote for you this time. I just don't see it. And I think this is just the media being disingenuous, and they're just rotten. The way they conduct business is rotten. And they're supposed to be doing a service to the community, to the country, to the citizenry. They're not doing that. They're doing service. They're doing the bidding of people who are already filthy rich. And it's all about serving the dollar.
Sometimes I look at some of these polls as marketing, basically just trying to make the election appear closer than it is, especially in regard to the African-American vote. They literally want to see the Black vote peeled off of the Democratic Party and literally open to the Republican Party. And I think sometimes this is just a marketing ploy in which to do that, because it's not hard to find one or two or 10 out of 100, 10% or less African-Americans who really are Republicans and conservatives and would vote that way anyway, and to hold them up as an example of the Blacks leaving the Democratic Party. So, you know, sometimes I think this is just the news and these marketing companies, a way of actually marketing the Republican Party and the strength in the upcoming election.
And Scott, you know, early on in our careers, we started out doing marketing research, which is the sort of forebearer of polling for political purposes. And so we've seen on the inside how those numbers can be manipulated, because it's literally about how you ask the questions and how you select your sampling. And so there is just way too much credence given to something that is very unscientific being said, that it actually does have some kind of scientific methodology and basis to it.
I mean, exactly. And you said one of the most critical thing when you're designing an instrument to do polling, to ask questions, how the question is asked. You know, are you leading the person to the answer that you want, which it seems that way to me, because when they start giving out polling information, it's like there are obvious questions. For example, they talk about, oh, well, early on, they were talking about how old Biden was, and younger people had a problem with about Biden age, and they constantly asking people about Biden age. But they don't do a lot of reporting about Trump's age. There's not a lot of reporting. They're not asking these younger people, what do you think about the fact that this guy has sexually assaulted? There are 23 women said something to that effect and said that he sexually assaulted them. There's a woman, he's been found guilty, basically, of raping her, and he had to pay something like $89 million or some number like that. They're not asking those people those questions. Why aren't they asking those questions of young people? How do you feel about this guy trying to lead an insurrection, trying to overthrow the government? What do you think about this guy saying he's going to be a dictator on day one? You never hear any information asked that question, any of those questions.
And, you know, Scott, I'm so happy you brought those things up, because, again, he's also been convicted of 3 different frauds. And again, why should he have a record like this and still be able to run for president? This is the ultimate example of white privilege in this country, which too many people are denying that it even exists. But again, why are they not asking these questions?
And let's keep that train going for a second, because where are the questions that say, how do you feel about the fraud that the president has been accused of? Not even if you don't go into the fact of saying he's being convicted, how do you feel about a potentially elected leader being accused of fraud, being accused of rape? Do you think that makes him fit to hold office? How do you feel about a guy who's had multiple bankruptcies, being in charge of an economy that you are already saying you are dissatisfied with it as far as your consumer price index, et cetera? There's all these other angles that would make much more sense to ask the question. But as you pointed out, Scott, and as you just said, Norm, you know, those questions aren't being asked. All they're saying is effectively, do you support Biden or do you support 45? And that's not the kind of question that really measures anything or that actually talks to what the real issues are. And that should be more important for us to hear from people other than a simple question of, do you support Biden or Trump? Especially, as you said, Scott, when they will add the question, do you think Biden's age is a problem? Well, if you think Biden's age is a problem, what about the criminality of 45?
Exactly. The other thing to me that's really, really concerning is the way, like Norm talked about white privilege. I don't know no other way to describe what we've been witnessing. This happened January the 6th, 2021, when the Capitol was attacked. And 45, he was the catalyst for that. You know, he was the one that pushed that up, that whole thing. But yet, no one in his circle has spent one day in court to prove their innocent or guilt.
Just to, and he didn't, but I want you to just also deal with that. That question is not being asked in the polls.
Right.
Nobody's
right.
Saying, how do you feel the events of January 6th should impact his candidacy, or does that impact your willingness to vote?
Exactly. And two, I said this before in a previous podcast, you know, where is the outrage? I mean, when you compare the fact that Colin Kaepernick was kneeling because of police brutality in a criminal justice system that was unfair to black people, and, you know, you're killing the innocent black people. It was white people lost their mind when he was kneeling. They lost their mind in terms of disrespect, how he was disrespecting the flag and disrespecting the people who served. We got a situation where these people tried to overthrow the government, and the outrage is just not there. Just here recently, I think over this weekend, was it in New Jersey or Michigan, where the police union, standing there flanking him, supporting, giving him his support, their support, when there was police officers who died during that insurrection, who were brutalized during that insurrection. Where's the outrage here? Is everything all about race, black and white, because they're white? This looks like white privilege to me.
Oh, I definitely agree with you there, Scott. And as I mentioned, I believe the last show, we had an NYPD officer murdered here in New York, and they literally shouted down the governor who attended the funeral and the Democratic Party, because they felt that Democrats are naturally soft on crime and aren't backing the police. But as you just mentioned, they were attacking the police on January 6th. And the hypocrisy seems to come in the political realm every time. And when you point it out, they claim amnesia in regards to anything that happened on January 6th. They claim not even to know what happened on January 6th.
And you know, and that's one of the reasons why, too, for me, that they keep skipping around that whole notion of calling it the treason that it really was, because, you know, in the actual verbiage in the Constitution, the penalty for treason is death. So they are carefully avoiding that term, because I think they understand of how serious that particular issue is. And so there's another poll question that should be asked. Do you think the president committed treason by trying to overthrow the government? Those are the kind of poll questions that should be asked of anybody who's trying to go back in and get back in the office. But we repeat, instead of getting to those kind of impactful questions that actually should be impacting people's decisions around who they're going to vote for, we get this fluff that's attempting to make the race closer, because ultimately, I guess the notion is that it's good for business to have a close election that they can start manipulating the facts. And yet the danger is that the more they do that, the more they legitimize a guy who ought to be facing the death penalty versus actually out running for the highest office in the land again.
I mean, really. And then you also got to ask yourself, why are they bending over backwards to support this guy and to deny that January 6th happened? You know, you got people talking about, oh, it was just sightseeing. That's not what I saw on TV. Oh, you know, it was just like a stroll in the park. That's not what I saw. It was violence. And, you know, to hear people say foolishness like that, that this was like, oh, it was, you know, it wasn't an insurrection, nothing close. I'm like, why is that? What is this all about? And if you're going to do it, why can't you, can you get a better candidate than this guy? This is the best that you can do. This is the best that you can put out there. Another disturbing thing to me.
You know, I'm just going to follow up with what Rod has mentioned several times. You know, it's the racism that they're voting for, bottom line.
Yeah, no question. That's the only thing that explains it.
So there you have it. That's what we see. And here's a challenge or a question that goes out to the worldwide Brothers Talk family. If you have ever been polled, let us know. We would like to hear from you. We'd like to hear what kind of questions you receive. We'd like to know. We don't necessarily need to know your responses, but we just want to find the mythical person that they are saying that they're polling who is in the Black community. But even if you're not in the Black community, because we know we have listeners who cross the spectrum. So, but if you have been polled, let us know. Like I said, our suspicion continues to be that they have this ready bank of seniors who they call for every poll that literally don't represent mainstream America. But we want to know if you've been polled, and if perhaps if we've been in error, we'll be the first to admit it. But as we have said over and over again, out of the literally thousands of people that we know, we have never heard of anyone in our circles or the people, as you said, Scott, that they know who've actually been polled. In our Black Business Spotlight, meet Naya Ellis, a 14-year-old African-American girl from New Orleans who is the inventor of Wing It, an innovative wristwatch designed to detect early signs of a stroke. Inspired by her family's health struggles, her invention has gained attention for its potential to save lives. Naya, a ninth grade student at John F. Kennedy High School in New Orleans, began her journey while enrolled in the STEM NOLA Fellows Program, which empowers young people to explore science, technology, engineering, and math. After spending 8 months there, she found her calling during one of her Saturday sessions. Thinking of her family, she decided to create Wing It, a watch designed to spot early signs of strokes. Using advanced technology, it reads nerve impulses and heartbeats, providing an early warning system for strokes. Naya's goal is to make it affordable for seniors who might not have access to expensive health monitors. Her hard work has paid off when she was recognized as one of the top students in the National STEM Challenge. Now she's gearing up to showcase her creation in Washington, D.C. And she's not just dreaming of making more inventions. She's also aiming to excel in our other pursuits. So we congratulate this powerful, impactful young Black woman, and we want to encourage her to continue. So for more details about Naya, her invention, and or the STEM NOLA program, visit stemnola.com. And remember, our ongoing Black Business Spotlight theme continues to be, let's relaunch Black Wall Street nationwide. And as the Women's NCAA Basketball Championship finished with the hype around the Clark girl, we want to once more say that the estimable Pearl Moore is the real all-time women's college basketball scoring leader. And they fudged the rules again about the AIAW and are attempting to ignore her accomplishments. But we refuse to go down that path. The NCAA cannot just pretend as though Pearl Moore and her accomplishments don't exist. So we will continue to keep that alive. That's a wrap for this week's show. And remember to follow and share your thoughts with us by sending your comments as well as your questions and show ideas to @TheBrothersTalk on X, formerly Twitter, and catch us on Facebook, Instagram, or email us, TheBrothersTalk@gmail.com. As always, God willing, we'll continue to keep our focus on the issues that impact our community as we stay on the path to a better future. And until our next episode, know that we sincerely appreciate your time and your interest, and you can rest assured we'll never take it or you for granted. And finally, let's all do better today, because that's all we really have.